inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
Joining us on the podcast today from Birmingham is Rob Drum. Rob started owning rental properties the exact same way that I did. He bought a house, he lived in that house, and then at some point he decided to buy another house, and he turned his first house into a rental property. Things have gone all right. He's doing really well with it, but he's had some problems with a property manager. So I want to hear why he had to fire his property manager. So we'll get into that here in just a second. First, we need to get a word in from our sponsor. We'll come back in 30 seconds and we'll meet Rob.
Are you on track to achieve your financial goals? Income-producing real estate is the most historically proven way to accumulate wealth and has created more financial freedom than any other means. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best turnkey cash flow rental properties. Our simple proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly income. Get your free strategy session with our knowledgeable investment counselors at noradarealestate.com. That's N-O-R-A-D-A realestate.com.
Hey, Rob, so how did you first get interested in owning rental properties?
Well, I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, like so many of your guests. And then I started listening to podcasts, listened to a lot of your podcast. And then I just was interested in buying an investment property and renting it out. I put my own house for sale, and we had a contract on it, but the contract fell through and we had already moved out. We had signed up to build another house and we found out we were pregnant with our first baby, all within about a week.
Wow.
And yeah. And, so I decided that that would be a good time to learn to be a real estate investor.
So your initial plan was that you were going to sell your house, but then when the contract fell through, you said, okay, well, we got a rent. This is maybe a good opportunity to get into it. Now, so, I mean, you had read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You had listened to the Rental Income podcast. You had kind of pieced some things together, but now you're just kind of thrown to the wolves and you've got to figure this out.
Yes.
Like, how did you kind of figure out what to do? Like, as far as even listing the property, how did you kind of figure out how to find your first renters?
Well, I read a lot online, and it was something where I was really scared to be a landlord. I'd heard the horror stories, you know, from people about tenants and not paying and just wrecking your house and that kind of thing. And so,
you know, let me ask you a question on that. Where did you hear those stories from? Because like everyone's heard those stories, but I feel like people hear those stories from people that aren't in this business. Do you remember specifically like where you were hearing that from?
I really don't.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because like it's really that's the exception, or it's, I think maybe the person that's not doing a good job of screening up front that has those stories. But yeah, it's really like, if you do a good job of screening your tenants and you're probably going to have a good experience. So you got your first tenants. Did you have a good experience with those tenants?
I did have a good experience with them. I had so much going on. I hired a property manager. And they found good tenants, and that went well for, they ended up leaving after a year.
Okay. So I think that's an important point to stress. So when you decided you were going to rent your property, it wasn't like you put ads online and started doing showings. You hired a property manager and they did all that. They found the tenants for you. So did they bring you a couple of tenants to pick from, or did they bring you one tenant and say, I think this is our best applicant?
They just brought one tenant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you looked at whatever information they gave you and said, okay, if you guys say that this is good, let's go with it. So they moved in, and then you didn't have to deal with any kind of collecting rent or any kind of maintenance problems, because that's what your manager was there for, right?
Right.
Awesome. Yeah. So that first year went pretty good then, right? It was. Did anything crazy happen that first year?
We had like a roof leak and had a pretty like a $700 bill to fix that and a couple other things. Okay. But other than that, it was pretty smooth sailing.
Now, how did you find your property manager?
Just looking online.
Okay.
Reading reviews, and I think they're the only one that I interviewed.
Okay. They had a professional website, I guess, that they had good reviews. Oh, yeah. And then, like, what did you do from there? Did you call in and interview them or talk to them?
Yeah, I went in person and interviewed them. I had tried to learn as much as I can about how the process should work. So I tried to ask them questions about what would happen if the tenant quit paying, or what would happen with repairs or turnover, those kind of issues. Although tried to be pretty thorough when I interviewed them.
And they seemed to have good answers. So they
did.
They seem like a good manager, and it seems like they were for that first year, but then things kind of went south at some point.
Yeah.
What happened? So the next tenant, that first tenant worked out great. It was the second tenant that you had problems with?
I did. And that's where you start learning things. And that's when things start going wrong.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Like you don't learn much when things are going perfectly. So what happened?
And you also find out what kind of manager you have when things start going wrong. And, the second tenant, he was paying rent for a couple months. And then in, I think it was August, he missed, paying rent. And I thought it was some type of accounting glitch with the dates. So I thought the month after that would be a double check. It ended up being about a half a check.
Well, let me ask you about that. So did they normally pay you like at a certain time so that the tenant would pay the rent on the first? Like, would they normally pay you a few days after the tenant paid?
No, it would be near the end of the month.
Okay. So they get all the rents in, and then they probably just process all of their payments at the same time at the end of the month. So you didn't get your August check, so you just figured, okay, well, it's probably coming at some point.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. But it never came. So then the next month, you only got a partial payment in September?
Right. Yeah.
And so then what happened? You called the manager and asked what was going on?
Yeah, I asked them what was going on, and they said that the tenant was $2,700 or so behind in rent. And I was upset because, well, it was, I'll take the blame for it because I didn't know that I needed to stay on top of my property manager and monitor them closely.
Yeah. I think that's a good point because, you did what you thought was the right thing at the time, but looking back on it, you probably should have called them in August and said, hey, where's my rent check?
Absolutely.
But, you know, at the same time, you had been working with them for a while. Everything had been running smoothly. So I could see how you would maybe let your guard down a little bit. But, yeah, you do have to stay on top of them. So what happened? So the tenant is missed a month. They made a partial payment for the next month. Did they have a plan with the tenant to get them caught up?
Yeah, they said that they had set up a payment plan to get them caught up. And I think that went as planned for about a month, month and a half. And then I think it t- turned out that I called him, and after he missed that payment plan, they said they were going to set up another payment plan, a new one. And at that point, I kind of realized that I needed to just take over and handle it myself.
So then how did you fire the property manager? Did you just call them and say, hey, I'm taking over?
No. No, you can't call this manager, which...
You can't call them? They don't have a phone? What do you mean?
You can call them, but you just can't... You can't get a decision maker on the phone.
Okay.
They only work via email.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I got frustrated with that aspect also, and I just went in the office and, you know, just told them that I was going to take over management.
Did they give you any pushback or try to save you as a customer?
No, I think they kind of realized the situation I was in, and I didn't really feel any pushback.
Okay. So you fire them, they let you go. Do they stick you with any cancellation fees or any other fees?
No, they didn't have any cancellation fees. That was something when I interviewed them that I kind of liked about them, that they kind of have that guarantee that if you don't like what we're doing, you can, you know,
you can fire
take over, fire us, and there's no breakup fees or anything.
Now you've got to go to the tenant and work with him. How did that work? Did you go to the house and talk to him?
I went to the house to try to speak to him a couple of times. One of the issues with the manager was that they said they couldn't get in touch with him over the phone.
Kind of funny, isn't it, that you can't get in touch with the manager and the manager can't get in touch with the tenant?
Yeah. It makes it tough.
Right, right.
But I ended up calling his work and was able to get in touch with him there.
Okay. And you had that from his application? You had his work information?
Yeah.
So you got him, did you actually get him at work?
I did, yeah.
Okay. And so how did that conversation go?
Well, I just had to explain that, you know, any deals that he had made with the previous manager were no longer in force, and that just that he was really far behind on rent, and that I was either going to have to file for an eviction judgment or that I would not file any judgment against him or anything, or pursue back rent if he would just move out and leave the house in good condition.
Okay.
And I gave him I think I gave him 2 weeks to move out.
And how did he react to that?
Well, it took a little bit of kind of explaining, just that his accelerated program that he had made with the manager, I just pointed out that with his income, the numbers weren't going to work for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, you know, this is, I have a mortgage that I have to pay on this house, and I have two small babies and a family. I can't pay this. I can't just let you live here for free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he understood that.
Okay. And so was he gone 2 weeks later?
He was, yeah.
Awesome. How was the condition of the property when you got in there?
It was actually pretty good.
Okay.
I did a little bit of updating for not any damage that he had done, just things that the house needed, and then I cleaned it. And then I was able to put it up for rent pretty quickly.
And so now you're doing this yourself because you don't have a property manager. Did you put it on Zillow, Craigslist, all the regular rental places? Okay. And did you get interest right away?
I did.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, I had pretty good interest on that one.
And how long did it take you to find someone good, or to find a good tenant?
Let's see. I think it probably took a week and a half. So I think my old tenant moved out on December 3rd or 4th, mm-hmm. and my new one moved in on January 1st.
Awesome. And how long have they been there for now?
The new tenant?
Yeah.
Just 10 days, I guess.
Oh, okay. All right. So this literally just happened.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. And so was it tricky trying to coordinate getting the new people in there, or was there any challenges with?
No, there weren't really any big challenges. I'd kind of watched what my property manager had done, how they did the application. I used some software to do background checks and credit checks, and
okay.
And then I just felt good about these tenants. They had a cosigner, and so I felt pretty good about them, and the move-in went smoothly.
So this property is going good. It sounds like you're doing good with this one. So now you felt the confidence to buy a second property. Like just recently you bought your second rental.
Yeah.
So how's that been going?
the thing is, I actually bought the second one in November when my other tenant was still like not paying rent. So
oh, okay.
It's just
kind of a scary time. Were you questioning? Yeah. Hey, is this the right thing to be doing? Or did it shake you
thinking,
at all?
Actually.
Yeah. So you felt good about it. Like you knew that this is just a temporary setback you're having, but
yeah.
Okay. And so with the new property, do you have this one rented out yet?
I just started marketing it about a week ago.
Okay. Okay. And are you getting interest?
I've gotten a lot of interest.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, that's good. It seems like you're off to a really good start with your rental business. Now, one other thing you've done is you've recently gotten your real estate license.
Yes,
I did. How is that? Has that helped you at all? Because a lot of people think that they need to get a real estate license before they can invest in real estate. Like, do you feel like your license helped you at all, or not really?
I definitely am in the camp that it does help a lot.
Okay.
I definitely don't think it's a necessity, but I think it really helps as far as being able to find properties, being able to go see them yourself mm-hmm. anytime you want. And there's also kind of a whenever you talk to somebody about real estate, agents are really the face of real estate to mm-hmm. the public.
Yep.
And so you kind of have a credential, something that says, you know, he knows about real estate,
sure.
knows what he's doing. And that gives you a level of trust
yep.
with people immediately, yep. I think.
Now, let me ask you this, because this is something I've thought about a lot, because people do ask me a lot, should I get my real estate license? And yeah. I don't think that getting your real estate license is going to help you be a better investor, because like a lot of getting a real estate license is learning the laws, like learning a lot yeah. of like crazy stuff that like you're never going to use. But I yeah. do think that actually being a realtor and being out there and working deals and writing contracts, I do think that part of the business is going to help you as an investor. So just getting the license is just doing schoolwork. And I don't know if that really helps you, but I think getting out there and being a realtor does help you. Do you think I'm right here?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Oh, I think that's spot on. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, cause you do learn a lot, and also like just being a realtor, you come across deals that other people maybe wouldn't know about. So, and I do agree also with being able to see the houses without an agent is huge. So I think that is a big benefit. But I guess the downside is that it does cost a few thousand dollars a year to keep everything going with your realtor dues and MLS dues. So if right. you're not going to be selling houses, I don't know if it's worth it.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, one thing that I think is really cool that you've done since you've gotten your license is having access to the MLS and having access to lots of data. You've done a lot of research in your market, looking at what hedge funds are buying, which I think is interesting. So,
yeah.
So in Birmingham, there's a lot of hedge funds that are buying properties as rentals, right?
Yeah. It's kind of a new investable asset class for hedge funds for Wall Street.
So looking at the MLS data, you've been able to figure out what the hedge funds are buying. And so I think that's kind of interesting. So what are the hedge funds buying?
Well, what I was interested in, as a newer investor, I was just curious what types of homes they buy and what areas of town they're buying in, just because I felt like they probably have a good strategy.
Yeah. I think that's really good because they do. I mean, they have a lot of money. These are professional investors. They know what they're doing. So, figuring out what they're doing can only help you. So is there a type of house that they prefer to buy?
Yeah, it's, I think mostly 3 bedrooms, 2 baths. I think they're usually buying between 40,000 and 70,000 when they buy them. Like any investor, they try to get a good deal and then, renovate it to their standards.
Okay.
The areas that they're buying are mostly blue collar areas. I guess you would call them like B class areas.
Mm-hmm. And are you able to see what they're renting out for?
Yeah, they're usually a little better than, like if you call it the 1% rule or like some people call it the 1% rule. It's usually a little better than that from what I've seen.
So but they're not getting to like 2%, but like maybe just over like 1.2, 1.3, something like that.
Yeah, for the most part, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, those are pretty solid numbers. I mean, I think I would agree with them that buying a 3-bedroom, 2-bath in a working-class neighborhood where you can get a little bit over 1%, I mean, those are pretty solid numbers. So now, how do you think that a good way to use that information is? Because if you do what they're doing and you try to compete with them, you're probably going to lose because they're cash buyers. But like maybe there's an opportunity to maybe buy in areas that they're not buying in, or maybe buy a little bit different.
For example, the one that I bought in November was it was in one of the areas they like, but it was a 2-bedroom, 1-bath.
Yep.
And so I don't know if they looked at it or not, but that's not really their sweet spot.
Right.
So
right.
If they're bidding up prices on 3-2s, then maybe there's an opportunity to buy 2-1s at a good price.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the great thing with the real estate. I mean, there's always opportunity. Like, there's always ways you can make money. Well, Rob, I'm happy to hear you're off to a good start. I think you're on the right path, and I love that that you took action and you made this happen. Now, so you're a realtor. So if someone is looking for an agent in the Birmingham area, what is the best way for someone to reach out to you?
Yeah, they can just email me is probably the best way. I'm on social media. Just search Rob Drum. You can find me on most social media. They can email me at robert.h.drum@gmail.com.
Awesome. And then also you've got a blog where you're writing about some real estate topics.
I do. Yeah. I write about, mostly I try to tell stories about what I'm doing or write about research on the Birmingham market or things like that. That the blog is just my name, robdrum.us, like awesome. Us.
Well, if you missed that, I'll go ahead and put links to Rob's email and his blog on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode142. Rob, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate you having me.